Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacevic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic.
It is my privilege to welcome John Reeve today of Total Resource Management. Welcome, John.
Oh, hello, James. How are you?
Doing quite well. Yourself?
Wonderful.
Well, John, I wanted to bring you on here to talk about a particular topic that seems to be elusive in maintenance, and it's failure data in CMMS. Often this topic, you know, people don't understand it. They don't believe there's valuable data in the CMMS. It's a difficult concept to for people to understand and understand the value that that actually brings to an organization. So I decided to bring you on to talk about that. But before we get into that, I just want to introduce you to the audience. So you're a consultant.
Yeah.
Originally hired by PSDI/MRO, and those were the inventors of Maximo, correct?
Well, that is correct.
Perfect. And you've been a consultant working all across the globe, Australia, China, Canada. So you've had extensive experience across multiple industries. You're also a CRL, Certified Reliability Leader, for those that are not familiar with that acronym. And you're writing a book at the moment, correct?
That is correct.
What book is that?
The title, I'm pretty sure, will be Maintenance Reliability from a CMMS Perspective.
Excellent. What is that book going to cover? The failure data, the specific topic we're actually going to talk about today, or a different perspective?
You know, it will include the subject of failure data and failure analysis, but it's a much larger topic or topics. I think there's like two worlds out there. One is the CMMS side, and the other might be the RCM reliability professionals. And sometimes their language sounds similar, but their viewpoints may not be lining up. And so the book attempts to bring those two worlds together.
Excellent. When is that book due out?
Well, it should be published in December by Reliability Web.
Oh, excellent. Did I miss anything from your background you want to provide to our listeners before we jump into the topic?
No, that's good. I think we're ready to go.
Okay, excellent. So how did you become so interested in failure data?
Well, as a consultant visiting so many sites, organizations, and of course industries, after a while you see problems and patterns. You do have plenty of time to think about this, and you're thinking to yourself, well, boy, I think there's something that should be done here, and what exactly is causing this? And so I've had years to put these thoughts together, and I think we've got a solution now that will benefit any organization.
Excellent. Before we jump into that specific solution, I want to make sure everyone understands, you know, what is failure data? You know, so to you, what is failure data? What specific data points are required? And can you provide some good examples of what that actually is?
Yes. Now, I caution the listener, this is where you have to be careful on the words, because sometimes they sound similar, you know. So you have failure data, failure modes, failure codes, fault codes, and all of that. Failure data is a generic term, and it can include foundation data and transactional data. Sometimes people refer to foundation data as master data, and examples of foundation data are the asset records or asset registry. And within the asset registry, you have criticality of that asset. You might have a condition code, you know, a ranking of 1 to 5. You could also have an installation date, of course, a warranty expiry, maybe a replacement cost, and an asset classification, such as pumps. You might even have an at-risk marker provided by operations. And of course, there's the manufacturer and then spare part data in the maintenance strategy. So that's examples of the asset registry within foundation data, but there's more. There's also the transactional data, and this includes the actual costs for the asset as reported through the work order. It could also include a yes-no field. Was there a functional failure on this work order, which is tied to the asset? And then that would drive your mean time between failure calculation, perhaps, maybe. But coming back to the failure data in the transaction side, you've got your asset problem code. So a pump might be noisy, and then the failed component might be the impeller, which you wouldn't know until the actual technician is performing, completing the repair, rather. Then the component problem, well, the impeller was fouled, or it was stuck, or it was corroded. And then the cause, what was the cause for that, you know? So those last three elements, the failed component, the component problem, and the cause code, create what we call, or what the RCM people call, a failure mode. And so if you were going to memorize anything out of this failure mode, those two words, that's the most important element of all failure data, if you ask me.
Okay. Excellent. So once we have that data, you know, we can do a variety of things with it. So why is collecting that failure data so important? And why do we bother collecting it?
Well, certainly. Well, everyone's familiar with root cause analysis, but hopefully that's not done but maybe once or twice a month. It's a big deal, and it requires a lot of man hours to get to the root cause. But Ken Latino, or Bob Latino, I can't remember which first name, but he's a pioneer in reliability. He said that 40 to 60% of all maintenance costs can be attributed to these chronic or recurring equipment failures that are happening. And so that's why you want to capture the failure data so you can perform basic failure analysis to identify these worst offenders.
Okay, excellent. So, and for organizations that are interested in collecting this data, what can they do to facilitate that, to make it easy, and to provide that meaningful data?
Certainly. I like to break it up into software, process, and organizational actions. So from the software side, you may need to configure your input screens. And before you start doing that, the very first step is to identify your failure analytic, your output report. Okay, so now that's in front of you, and you're looking at those fields on that report. You may discover a field that actually is not on the input screen. Well, okay, well, then you need to fix that. Second example is the field may be on the screen, but the current process by the organization is not mandating that input. And so you got to go at it from two ways. Okay, from a process side, you need to have clear business rules, standard operating procedures. And organizationally, you got to train the staff to put the data in at the right time and make sure you have a RACI chart, which identifies who is responsible for entering what data at what time on the work order.
Excellent. So we touched on the software side there. So how important is the configuration of the CMMS in collecting and analyzing that failure data?
Well, you certainly need to have the right fields on the screen, and you cannot assume that the software you have has the necessary fields to capture the failure mode that we mentioned earlier. And so I like to capture the failure mode in three pieces, as I've mentioned: the failed component, the component problem, and the cause code. And those are three separate fields, and each one of them is a what we call a validated field. So that would be concatenated together to make the failure mode. Now, to answer the question, it's very important to configure the system correctly. But I will say there are some professionals out there on the reliability side that simply believe in the, you know, talking to the O&M technician to glean information. In other words, they don't really believe that much in the CMMS. Obviously, I agreeably disagree, but I'm just saying there are differing opinions here. And then there's another thought by some professionals that say, let's just put the data in the text fields. I guess that could work, but I haven't yet figured out how to perform analytics, aggregating the data that's in text. I'm not smart enough to do that, but there may be some that can. So hopefully that answers that question.
Absolutely. And you touched on a point there about validated fields. I just want to make sure our listeners understand what you mean by that. Correct me if I'm wrong. So for validated fields, say, for example, we're doing something on a pump, a validated field would provide us with specific components that are valid for a pump only in that component field. And then once we select that, we would only have problems that are specific to that type of component, correct?
That's correct. Another way of answering the definition of validated field is it has a choice list, and it can be a static choice list or a dynamic choice list. But either way, you must choose one of those values as opposed to free format entry.
Okay, perfect. And by static, you mean you just have a generic list for all equipment. Dynamic means it's specific to the type of equipment you're doing that work on.
Well, the dynamic is a choice list which ties to a table, such as the asset registry, that could be periodically updated, added to each day over time, whereas a static list is you've got four or five or six choices in it. Normally, that static list stays as is, as it was created day one.
Okay.
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you for that clarification. Now, when an organization wants to implement a CMMS, what should they do to ensure they're able to collect and use that failure data?
Well, it helps to have an implementation team with a vision for the future, for, you know, operational excellence, for asset performance, asset reliability. They should identify the end game. And within that end game, there should be a failure analytic. And it's a common mistake where organizations assume the software they purchased has the analytic that you need for this cause, for this purpose, the failure analytic. So you want to make sure that type of report exists, or you need to start designing it right away, because that drives your inputs, as we just mentioned.
So by report, do you mean something that can run a LIBEL or a reliability growth analysis for us, or do you mean something that we can export the failure data in an aggregated format based on asset or asset class or type of failure modes, that sort of thing?
You know, maybe everything you said, the LIBEL is certainly good. A Pareto-style analysis is good. I like to provide a report using Pareto that gives the options to the user to sort several ways. You could do it in a crude fashion by work order counts for a given asset, which is crude. The next one would be mean time between failure, and then you could do it by asset condition, and then you could do it by maintenance downtime, and then you could do it by annual average actual maintenance cost divided by replacement cost. And that gives you a normalized value, which is, if it's above a certain percentage, say 3%, then that asset is in trouble. So anyway, you've got all those options to go by, and you could run the asset offender report maybe six different times and get six different answers. So that's step one. Now, with that in your left hand, okay, look at the asset at the top of that list and then click on it. And wouldn't it be wonderful if you could drill down into a pie chart showing the dominant failure mode and then click on that wedge and then pull up the cause codes? And so that is real value added for a reliability team.
Absolutely. With that, you're not spending hours and hours data mining, data cleansing, all these things to pull the data from a free text field, for example, if it's even in there.
Correct. Yeah.
So we touched on it, but once they have that failure mode, how do they use that to generate results and tangible actions? Do they have to cleanse the data first? Do they have to do some grouping? Do they dive right into, you know, your root cause analysis tools?
Okay. Well, I can't be absolutely positive, but I do not know of a single CMMS right now that is capturing failure mode on the work order screen. That's a powerful statement. I could be wrong, but I haven't seen it yet. But with a CMMS that is configurable, using the advice we're providing here on this conversation, you could quickly add these three fields that make up the failure mode. Now, you have the failure mode on the work order. That's a major step. So now imagine if you had RCM analysis, the results, you know, those seven questions, which one of them includes the failure mode and then the corresponding maintenance tactic. What if that was inside the CMMS also? Imagine the power of that. And so there's the failure mode of the RCM analysis screen. You can add a new application maybe in 1 or 2 days, you know. And then you've got the failure mode on the work order, and now you're one click away from creating a living program and doing a comparing apples to apples and making immediate comparisons. That, to me, would be outstanding. Best-in-class design.
Absolutely, because then you can even see if you have one of those maintenance activities or mitigating activities in place for that failure mode. And if you don't, and it's occurring enough, now you can make that decision.
Absolutely. You said it better than I could, correctly. Thank you.
So we understand the value of having this history in the CMMS. But why not just use the technicians and their innate knowledge? Why go through the trouble of putting this in a CMMS?
Well, I say do all of the above. So I want to have the validated data, the failure mode information, and I'm still going to talk to the the technicians, the O&M technicians. It is tribal knowledge, but I still want their input. Anyone who has knowledge about that plant system or those assets and the causes for the equipment failure, you want to get that data no matter wherever you got to go. But I certainly want the data in the CMMS because that's where I can run the failure analytic to manage by exception and focus on the worst offenders. I mean, you could talk to 5 people, and the problem is when you ask them what their opinion is on the worst asset, you might get 7 answers. So, yeah, and they'd be different each day you ask them. So that's the benefit of having an accurate CMMS.
And to me, one of the things that it also allows us to do is retain that knowledge, that tribal knowledge. As we have an older skilled trades force, they start to retire and move on.
Yep.
Being able to retain that in that CMMS allows us to truly look at what this asset is doing over the previous 6 months, year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years even.
Absolutely. Yep. And the workforce is getting older and there will be an increase in retirements and it's already started. Yes.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out Iridicio's IBL, Blended Learning for Maintenance and Reliability Professionals. This SMRP-accredited, project-based curriculum will take you through all aspects of a maintenance and reliability program and provides you with all the tools you need to generate a 30 times return on investment for your organization and a set of credentials from the University of Tennessee for you. You can find out more at ibltraining.com.
With all these great things, how does one justify the funding to make the changes to CMS, get the proper training to use this failure data? How do we justify that?
Well, actually, I think this entire story is good news. A powerful CMMS can be configured in minutes, if not hours. Okay, so what really the hardest part here is the vision. And again, we're providing that answer here today on this conversation. And so once you have your roadmap for the future, and you understand how the data can come together on the work order with the failure mode and the RCM analysis containing the failure mode also, you've got a solution that will give you a competitive advantage as an organization. And so the goal is basic failure analysis, which enables you to make value-add decisions and stay competitive, as I mentioned.
You may not have this information, but on average, how much improvement do you see in maintenance costs or reduction in downtime when organizations do this properly?
Well, that's a great question. Without this data, you're not able as a leadership team to identify your worst offenders, which means you could be focusing on the wrong assets, which means you're not able to reduce reactive maintenance. And there's a higher cost with reactive maintenance. So this enables you to validate your PM/PDM library by having an RCM analysis capability. And this is a living program which you can create on the fly with the emphasis on failure modes. So I'm not sure I gave you an answer with the percentages, but I just know for a fact that if you're not able to reduce reactive maintenance because you're not focusing on the right assets, you will have a higher cost of operation.
That's fair. I agree 100%. Now, for organizations that have yet to embark on collecting failure data in their CMS, what are the one or two key recommendations you have for them to start?
Well, start off by saying without failure data, all you have really is a work order ticket system. And I know some of these software programs are quite expensive. I mean, you could have spent up to 7 digits on a software package of this type. So every day that goes by where you're not capturing proper failure data, that's essentially lost data, and it will be real difficult to go backwards in time to recover it. I know of a gentleman at a manufacturing plant out east here I visited a couple months ago, and he was focusing on one particular asset at the plant, trying to discover all of the causes and reasons for it being problematic. He spent 2 man months researching the text fields, just reading the work orders and going through this and putting the results into Excel. So that's a lot of wasted time. The better approach is to get the right failure data, specifically the failure mode, onto the work order, and then train your staff to start entering that. And it helps to explain to them why this is important. And perhaps you might show them that failure analytic we mentioned a moment ago.
Absolutely. Now, if you could change one thing, wave a magic wand, what would you change regarding what organizations are doing now in collecting data and analyzing that failure data?
Well, I may be repeating myself, but I would get the reliability engineer involved. I mean, how often do you see these software CMMS packages implemented and they don't involve the reliability engineer? So get him involved. Even once you're operational, it's not too late to bring this guy on board and ask him something. Ask him, can you help us identify the failure analytic, or at least tell us what you want out of this system? It would be sad if he only plans to use Excel spreadsheets to track and capture his failure data because he couldn't get the data properly collected in the CMMS. So get him involved, get him on board, design that analytic, reverse engineer the input fields, get the fields on the screen, and train the staff. So that's more than one thing. But, you know, this is what we call an advanced process, and advanced processes do have a lot of prerequisites. They may be complex, but they have the largest potential return on investment.
Yep, I couldn't agree more. Get the reliability engineer in there helping design, reverse engineer so he has the data he needs. And you can even take that one step further, is get some of the techs involved. What makes it easy or hard to enter that data? How can we make it easier for them to ensure we're getting good data, it's consistent, and it's meeting the quality that we need?
Okay. Many people have commented on, you know, if you add these new requirements on the work order, it will make it harder for the techs to update the computer and input all of the information. I realize there's an additional burden, but I really don't think it'd be substantial. It shouldn't be more than 5 minutes per work order, hopefully less. And the way to do this is you have different roles provide different pieces of information. So the operational staff normally creates the service request and identifies the problem description and links it to the asset. So that's in there. Then the tech performs the work. He discovers the failed component. He enters the failed component. You could have the supervisor enter the cause code, and perhaps you might need the reliability engineer to participate there too. It helps to have the choice lists on the fields. That makes it easier for the technician to choose the right value. And of course, training is always important. So that's how we make it easier. Sometimes mobile solutions are helpful, but still, you're going to need the right fields on the screen.
Yep, exactly. Now, what is the one action you want our listeners to take away from this?
Well, I really truly believe anyone can do this. So accurate data can be captured with proper configuration, better procedures, and of course training, and it doesn't hurt to conduct periodic audits. So a business analyst might be involved and perform spot checks with the users and ask them questions like, did you get properly trained? Is the system set up the way you thought it should be to work properly? Because we always want their inputs. Are we missing some values on the choice list for problems and causes? And make sure that the a tipping point hasn't been reached where they've given up on the system. That would really be bad. But indicators would be if they're tracking data outside of the system on paper or a spreadsheet. So that's how you do it. Accurate data, you want to focus on that and show the user the benefit of the data and how it will be used with the analytic.
Perfect. Now, do you have a recommended resource for our listeners who want to learn more about the failure data, such as a book, an ISO standard, a website? I know we mentioned maintenance reliability from a CMS perspective, which is due to release in December, but if they want to learn tomorrow, what should they add in addition to your book that's coming out?
Well, of course, there's plenty of information on the internet now, but that's a good place to start. And the Reliability Web venues, they're held twice a year. The one in December is called the International Maintenance Conference, which is coming up December 2016 in Florida. I was a software guy starting out day one in the world of maintenance, asset reliability, and so on. But it wasn't until I attended this venue where I had a substantial increase in knowledge pertaining to asset performance, maintainability, and availability. And so they bring in the best resources from around the world to talk on a variety of topics, from predictive technology to defect elimination, root cause analysis, of course, and the topics we've been talking about today, which is basic failure analysis. Now, there is a book that stands out within the body of knowledge that Reliability Web Venue offers, and that's called RCM Blitz by Doug Plucknett. And it takes the Mowbray book on RCM, and it puts it into a language that I could understand easier, and it really emphasizes the failure mode concept in there, the three parts that make up the failure mode. And And Doug is an absolute believer in RCM analysis and the value it provides. And I got a lot of wisdom from him by reading that book.
And we're actually working on getting Doug on the podcast. He said he should be good in October to, you know, lend us some time and go through the same sort of thing with him. So we're excited for that as well.
Great.
Now, where can people find out more about you? What other activities are you involved in with the moment? You know, you're writing your book. Are you going to be presenting at the IMC or other conference in April in Las Vegas? Or are you going to be at the SMRP conference? What else are you doing?
As my company allows me, I'm still a working consultant, but I'm allowed to attend occasional venues. So I'm scheduled for Houston Go Maximal in a couple of weeks here in September. And then I'm going to a regional user group session in Chelan, Washington in early October. And then, of course, the IMC 2016 in December in Bonita Springs, Florida. And that's where I'll be talking for 3 hours on failure modes, the failure data, the very subject we discussed today. And then I'm scheduled for Las Vegas in 2017 in April. And I think that topic's going to be defect elimination and also ROI for managers. Well, that's maximal specific, but that's the topic, ROI for managers.
Excellent. I won't see you at the IMC, but I will see you at the Reliability Conference in Vegas in April. I've been invited to present and teach a course there as well. So.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, that'd be nice, James.
I want to thank you for you taking the time to help provide some clarity around this failure data CMS mystery that a lot of people experience and are working through. The value provided is excellent. Describing a failure mode in that specific, easy to understand way, I think is of tremendous value. Many people don't understand a failure mode, even if they've been in the organization or business for years. The way you break it down, object, problem of the object, and the cause is fantastic. So thank you for that very much.
Well, you're welcome.
All right. Thank you very much. I hope you have a wonderful night, and thank you again.
All right. Thanks for the opportunity, James. Take care.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.